I'm Steve Chiotakis, and this is Greater LA, KCRW's new show that connects you to the people and the places of Southern California. Today, we're on East 7th Street in downtown LA, and across from a car wash in fire station number 9 is the Madison Hotel.
You know, I like to joke and say it's Skid Row adjacent, but we're basically on the border. But just to turn the corner here from the building, it's hundreds of tents, hundreds of people, trash, garbage.
Paul Williams lives at the Madison. It isn't a hotel like a Best Western or a Roadway Inn. It's called an SRO. It stands for Single Room Occupancy. And SROs once would have been called flop houses. You rent a cheap room. There's no kitchen. There's a shared bathroom down the hall.
The building is not great. It's not a great neighborhood. But what can you reasonably expect for $400 a month?
Paul recently spoke with KCRW's Anna Scott, who's here with me right now. Hi, Anna.
Hey. So I went to see Paul because there's a new trend around the kind of building he lives in, the SRO, which we will get to. But first, I wanted to check out an old SRO, like the Madison, which is where Paul lives.
I got my computer, my fan, my...
SROs have a really long history in L.A.
19 or whatever inch.
They're one of the oldest forms of affordable housing that the city has.
And, you know, it's all right. I'm down at
the
end of the hallway.
They go back more than 100 years. And they've traditionally housed people who are right on the brink of homelessness, which definitely describes Paul.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Paul Williams, because this guy has lived, obviously, in this occupancy unit. Why is he there? What's going on with this guy?
Well, let me take you back and tell you a little bit about who he is. He's 59 years old. He grew up mostly in the South Bay area. He got involved in gangs when he was really young. He says, though, that growing up, his home life wasn't really traumatic or violent or anything like that, but he never really felt like he fit in.
I'm half white, half African American, but no matter what racial group I went around, it was derogatory in some way, shape, or form, you know? I've always been aware that I stand out. And it's not just being mixed race. You know, I got a million freckles on my face. You know, I can look in the mirror and tell this is the kind of face. Once you meet me, you'll recognize me 20 years from now.
Yes.
You know, so, and I was always aware that I stood out and was a little different and probably did a lot of the things I did to force acknowledgement of my presence on people.
Maybe, yeah, it was your way of creating an identity for yourself?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So over the years, he racked up a very long rap sheet. He has robberies, assaults, auto theft, drug charges on his record. He was in and out of prison for decades.
I've done easily 30 calendar years behind bars. It was a lifestyle I didn't mind living. Let's go to prison, let's lift weights, let's get healthy, let's meet new connections, all the cliched things, let's have a great time, let's get out, and let's just do it again.
But by 2013, after another prison sentence, Paul had nowhere to go.
I was living in a staircase, what was left of a staircase, on Temple Street below a hospital by Temple and Hoover, heavily involved in substance abuse, methamphetamine and alcohol and marijuana in copious amounts.
Then he hit what you might call a rock bottom moment.
Days would go by where nobody would come by. And it was kind of sad because I sat up there and I realized if I was to drop dead right now, how long would it be before anybody even noticed?
Then he got arrested.
For possession, he cut me a break and only filed it as possession instead of possession for sales. Yeah. If it would have been for possession for sales, right now I would probably be still in prison.
Did you intend to sell it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you wanted some, I was going to sell you some. If not, it's, you know, it wasn't going to go to waste, you know. And when I went to court, they came in and told me, oh, you got an option. You can go back to the county jail for 3 years, or you can go to a program for a year, and we'll wipe this charge. And I took the program. You know, it's like that divine LAPD intervention. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's you know, they rescued me.
For whatever reason, that intervention worked. Paul got sober. He started a job training program, and he got the job that he still has today. He runs a maintenance crew that cleans up the streets around Venice Beach. But he was still in a tough spot when it came to finding a place to live. He can't afford much in rent. He's not needy enough to get into a lot of the subsidized apartments around town. And his criminal record made it hard to get a lease. It was frustrating.
Here I am, long-term homeless, drug addict, convicted felon. I'm working my ass off. I'm doing everything society tells me that I should do in order to integrate myself back in and to get my life together. But you're telling me I'm the lowest priority.
Until he found the Madison. And it's not perfect. It's still Skid Row. But there aren't a lot of buildings in LA where you can walk in with a background like Paul's and get an apartment for a few hundred dollars a month with no red tape, no waiting list. That's what SROs provide. They're the bottom rung of LA's housing market. And most of the time, Paul is grateful.
And I love to say, you know, I've had some horrible, countless, horrible, terrible, awful, bad days. But right now, I'm not even anywhere close to the zip code where a bad day exists.
So, Anna Scott, Paul feels pretty lucky having even the meager housing that he has right now in this so-called SRO. How many Pauls are there in Los Angeles living in buildings like this?
Well, the city has about 300 SRO buildings like the Madison. But once upon a time, it actually had a lot more. Between the 50s and the early 2000s, Los Angeles demolished about 15,000 residential hotel rooms, it's been estimated, before the city finally did step in about a decade ago to protect the ones that were still left.
So should the city and the region, should we be building more units like SROs? Could this be sort of an answer to the homelessness crisis?
Well, there are activists who make that very argument and say LA should be looking at filling up any empty SRO rooms that they do have, or looking at converting old buildings into more SROs. That is an ongoing debate. But there's also a new twist on the SRO model that's happening at the same time.
Well, what's the new twist?
So instead of SROs as we know them, like the Madison for people who used to be homeless or on the edge of homelessness, some market rate developers are actually building what you might call upscale SROs.
Hmm.
This is a trend here in LA, but also in other expensive cities like New York and San Francisco. I want to be clear that these are pretty fancy buildings, fancy developments. You're not going to find Paul Williams living in these buildings. You'll find, you know, young single professionals. But the idea is pretty much the same. You have your own room, but you share a bathroom in a lot of cases. You share a kitchen, maybe a living room, different common spaces. It's kind of like a dorm. A lot of young tech workers are into these. Developers call them co-living properties.
Well, what you described right there sounds really fancy, and Paul Williams probably doesn't have the money to rent something like that.
No, it's for a totally different clientele, but it's still the same basic concept. And they're definitely not $400 a month, though. I visited one in Venice Beach not that long ago that was under construction, and rents for a unit with a shared bathroom there started at about $2,200 a month. So that's pretty steep. Now, that's a block from the beach in Venice, where maybe a studio apartment could be $3,000 a month. So it's all relative.
And, you know, and by the way, these are really controversial.
Yeah. In Santa Monica, actually, there's a little bit of a controversy going on right now over these buildings. A developer filed plans to build hundreds of these units in downtown Santa Monica near the promenade. And a few weeks ago, the Santa Monica City Council actually passed a temporary ban on apartments smaller than 375 square feet, well, just to stop this plan.
This plan. So what is their concern with such a small unit?
Well, it's not necessarily the size of the unit, but they said they're worried about having too much of one kind of housing, these tiny apartments for single people, and they want time to consider whether they need some type of permanent policy on this.
What do we make of all of this, Anna? Because you go to the Madison in downtown LA, you go to, you know, these other SROs that are popping up, the fancier, tonier kinds of SROs. What do we make of this new trend? I mean, is this going to help the homeless crisis, or is this just another way people are going to live in LA?
Well, the fancier ones aren't going to help the homelessness crisis. But I do think we could say, bottom line, we need more cheap places to live in and around LA. We obviously need more affordable housing for people who are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless. But there is also a demand for more housing that's in between the ultra luxury stuff and the truly affordable stuff. And developers see that and they are finding a way to make it profitable. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Santa Monica. Their temporary ban on these micro apartments expires May 10th. So they may come up with some kind of permanent policy after that.
And a story that we will continue to cover right here, KCRW's Anna Scott. Great job. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks.
Well, SROs are just one piece of the puzzle when it comes to helping people get off the streets. And to be sure, not everyone thinks they're the best solution. Whatever the opinion, the issue of homelessness and how to end it involves a great number of people. And that's the idea behind one campaign that's run by a nonprofit. Tommy Newman is with us from the United Way of Greater Los Angeles. Tommy, thanks for being here.
Thrilled.
I want to talk about your opinion in how important SROs are in the LA area, like the ones that Anna was just talking about, in the affordable housing mix. I mean, I'm not talking about the luxury SROs. I'm talking about the ones that are in the hotels in downtown LA.
They've served a critical piece of our housing stock for decades. I mean, going back to the 1930s is the first place that people would end up when they came west. So there's no doubt that they play a really important role. Some numbers estimate, you know, up to 30,000 people living in SROs at the peak. And so the question really is how they fit in going forward, what lessons we can learn from SROs as we build more housing through a lot of the publicly available funding of late.
Your campaign is called Everyone In, and you probably have seen this on buses or billboards advertising that slogan, Everyone In. And Tommy, you launched this campaign about a year ago. Tell me a little bit about it. Who is everyone? I mean, I guess that involves each one of us?
We are everyone. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Homelessness and the housing crisis is the result of decades of underinvestment, bad policy choices, both in the homeless services system and also in creating enough housing at large. And so we sort of stepped back and said, okay, we passed these ballot measures, HHH in the city of LA, H in the county of Los Angeles, just having the money and just having the idea, supportive housing for certain folks, affordable housing for others, doesn't mean that it will happen on its own. And in fact, we do need a sort of call to action, a call to arms for regular folks in every community across this county to understand what the solutions are and then have an easy on-ramp into that conversation. It's not just going to be government that solves this. It's going to be all of us being able to articulate to our neighbors, our family, our friends, that we can, in fact, solve homelessness, that it's unacceptable to have tens of thousands of people living outside, and that we know what these solutions are and they need to be everywhere.
Let's hear a little bit from your campaign video in what you're putting out there into the community right now.
Last year, we put out a call. Join us. You didn't sit back. You spoke out. You grabbed the sign, picked up the phone, and lifted your voice to demand change. 80,000 people from across LA County stood with you and said yes to ending homelessness. Yes to supportive housing and solutions that work. Yes to humanity and decency and goodness. From Long Beach to Lancaster, Echo Park to Leimert Park, Van Nuys to Venice.
But there's also opposition in some neighborhoods, like Venice. A group of residents is actually suing the city over a shelter proposal. Does that discourage you?
They're always going to be out there. And I think those are the folks who have for far too long sort of sucked all the oxygen out of the room. But you can always be reminded that the vast majority of folks want to end this, think it's completely unacceptable that we have tens of thousands of people living outside and just want to know what they need to do.
I think we see a reality check every time we step outside. We see, you know, under an overpass or on the sidewalk or wherever it may be, there are certainly a lot of homeless people in the greater LA area. And I know the homeless count is coming out in just a few weeks, toward the end of this month. What are you expecting?
I expect it'll be up, to be honest. We're seeing in all of the counties that touch Los Angeles, we're seeing increases in Orange, San Bernardino, Ventura. We're seeing big increases. And so I think what we've seen for a long time is that the stronger our economy gets, the higher the homeless count numbers go. It was actually at the height of the recession that the homeless count numbers were the lowest. because housing costs were the lowest at that point. Our housing crisis is our homelessness crisis. And so as housing, as our scarce supply of housing gets more and more expensive, it's of course makes sense that folks can't afford to live in that housing and instead end up on our streets.
So you don't root for a bad economy, though, do you?
That's not the goal.
No, of course not. So it's like, that's got to be, I mean, you look at something like this and homelessness being one of those issues. It's like, you know, I talk to people and they're like, you can't end homelessness. Some people want to be homeless. And I think that's also a miscalculation. People don't really understand what's truly at the heart of the issue. Do you believe that it's achievable to end homelessness?
Yeah, I just think you have to look at any of the other sort of world-class cities. Look at London, look at Paris. There are not tens of thousands of people living outside on those streets. Of course, you'll always find a person here, a person there who's at a low point in their life, but you don't have tens of thousands of people. So it's a choice. It's an underinvestment in our housing. It's an underinvestment in our social services fabric. It took us until 2016 to have a dedicated local revenue source to construct housing in the city of Los Angeles. 2017, the first time when Measure H passed, that we had a local revenue source to fund homeless services and outreach teams. So it's, you know, I run into this all the time, and the question you ask is fair. We didn't really do anything about it for decades. And so it's no wonder that everything bottomed out and we had folks living on the streets in every community. We've now begun to invest. It's going to take time to dig out, but all we need to do is look at the rest of the sort of richest cities and countries in the world, of which we are one, to see that it doesn't have to be this way.
Tommy Newman is the director of impact initiatives over at the United Way of Greater LA. He's spearheading this Everyone In campaign. Tommy, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, coming up, from finding home to feeling at home, some folks take the language and the theatrics to a new level at civic engagements, but things are a little different in Orange County. That's next on Greater LA.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiotakis. How well-behaved should you be when you're speaking to a politician? The LA Times recently reported that the LA County Board of Supervisors has seen a big uptick in bad manners, bad language at its meetings.
Get those motherfuckers out and fry them and
Thank
deport
you.
Them
Next,
and put them in rehab.
Next speaker, please.
We're seeing the same going on here right now.
And
that's why I
language.
Keep saying to you people, if you're not going to get your together, then
That kind of thing is not tolerated, by the way, in Orange County. There, you're not even allowed to refer to the supervisors by name. Gustavo Arellano is here with KCRW's Orange County line. He has some thoughts about that. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
The Orange County Board of Supervisors has put in place a bunch of rules to keep public speakers in line. They don't allow what we just heard from the LA County Board of Supes. What are those rules that they put in place in Orange County?
This goes back actually to Election Day 2016. Remember, that's a Tuesday, and that's when the Board of Supervisors meets. So that day, they began to limit comments from the public to just 1 3-minute session set at the public comments part of a Board of Supervisors meeting, and the public could no longer comment on individual items like before. So that was 2016. Ever since then, you are no longer allowed to address a specific member of the Board of Supervisors by their name. You can no longer ask a question to a specific Board of Supervisors, a supervisor, or someone on staff. And if you want to actually talk about anything, you actually have to ask for permission from the chair. So ever since then, increasingly onerous rules governing how much the public can speak during public comments.
So then why'd they do it? I mean, were they getting yelled at like their counterparts in LA?
Oh, Not even close. I mean, what goes on in L.A. County is a whole different level. And Orange County people are kinder. However, there have been some speakers who have been attacking the Board of Supervisors over the past couple of years, and frankly, on issues that deserve attention, like the homelessness issue, issues about the opioid crisis in Orange County, different political malfeasance. And what it boils down to, like most politicians, they do not want to be criticized. So anything they can do to limit the criticisms, they are going to do that.
Well, one of those politicians is OC Supervisor Andrew Doe, who says, quote, "I have my right to not be verbally assaulted. I have my right to have my dignity be respected." You're a public official, though. You know, you're kind of in the line of fire anyway. You know what you're getting into, right?
Absolutely. And this is, remember, this is Orange County, which has experienced the blue wave of 2018. So you still have, well, now you have one Democrat on the Board of Supervisors. And so the people who have been there, the Republicans, they're not used to a public that critiques them, especially pretty vociferously. Ever in Orange County. Now, though, you're having increasingly emboldened public going up. I get it. No one deserves to be defamed. You still have First Amendment rights that guard against libel and defamation. This is not what's happening here. What's happening here with Doe and with the other supervisors is they just do not want to be attacked, period.
Well, I mean, we complain, and they're complaining about the ugliness. But isn't it kind of nice to have kind of nice at Board of Supervisor headquarters?
Hey, no one wants, what do they say? When you talk to a politician, you should not be cussing. You should give them some sort of decency. But at the same time, hey, people love to love the First Amendment until it's attacking them. But that said, look at the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors up in LA County, they tolerate that. As nasty as it is, they tolerate that because they also understand it's a First Amendment issue. And that's what's going down with Orange County. The ACLU of Southern California, they sued the Board of Supervisors earlier this year, saying that by limiting comments, not allowing the public to address supervisors by name, that's infringing on First Amendment rights. So there's actually going to be a hearing later in June. Best of all, I'll give some advice to the Board of Supervisors. Just ignore them. Smile, say thank you, and move on.
Our OC lion himself, Gustavo Arellano, with KCRW's Orange County Line. Gustavo, thanks.
Gracias.
All right, we encourage you, obviously, during this UnDrive Pledge Drive, too, if you enjoy the programs that you get here at KCRW, to contribute right now. We're doing this only at like 30 seconds at a time. You know, something you don't really hear on a public radio station about what's going on in public radio, but trying to raise money in just short periods of time, short increments. Madeline Brand is with me right now. We're talking about this contest. This is so funny because we're actually sharing a microphone.
This is so intimate.
Well, the thing is, here's what it is, because I love this woman. She is a dear friend of mine. Isn't that nice? I feel very close to you right now.
I feel the same, Steve. Absolutely.
We are trying to come up with a way. We've done this gimmick, right? Because on your show today, we talked about the end of the likes on Instagram. Yeah. And so all these influencers, these social influencers on Instagram, they like do these poses with the duck lips and all that. So the Kardashians, the Paris Hiltons, the people like that. And you did it. I did it. There's this competition between the two of us, and you're winning. You are like smoking me right now.
I'm not smoking you.
You are.
The only reason is because we announced it on my show. Now we're on your show. So you're going to up your likes right now.
What am I going to do? Okay. At KCRW.
Also, you can like both of them.
You can do this both. Yeah, because we're both lovely people.
And then we'll all be winners.
Right, right. And we're doing it during this UnDrive Pledge Drive as well.
So the account is the KCRW account on the Instagram.
At KCRW.
A little friendly competition.
Absolutely.
But
you can join me too as well.
If we all win.
I think we all, there's nothing. It's not like we don't have money riding on this, do we? Do we have money?
Wait a minute.
I didn't know if there was any money.
Speaking of money, KCRW.com/join as well. So do the Instagram thing.
Oh.
That's really fun. And then you want to join or renew your membership.
Do you see this? The James Blake. Did you get invited to this James Blake thing?
I did not either.
But if you join or upgrade or renew your membership during our UnDrive Pledge Drive, you're going to automatically be entered to win your place in KCRW history because Madeline Brand, this James Blake show, will happen on Morning Becomes Eclectic.
In our brand new studios.
On Tuesday, May 21st.
Our first live performance.
You will christen. Will we have champagne? I don't even know because I've not been invited to this thing. But you can be invited if you join, renew, or upgrade at kcrw.com/join.
Okay, so we've got a lot of tasks for you. You've got to go on Instagram and like either Steve or me.
Yeah. Where are you right now? You're at 196. Gosh darn it. Hard to beat. We got to wrap up the show right now.
Okay. And then you have to go to kcrw.com/join.
I adore you. Thank you for coming into the studio here.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
By the way, your show is fantastic.
Thank you. And yours is too. Mazel tov. All right.
We're liking everything.
Special thanks, Christian Bordahl, Catherine Barnes, Mike Newport, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna. Did I say Catherine Barnes? I did. Sonia Geis, thanks for being with us. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Let's do it again tomorrow.